We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and we've missed a couple of weeks, but we're back now. And can anybody tell me about some of the ones we've talked about and what we call the revelational gifts? The
word of wisdom, the word of knowledge.
Okay, very good. There was four of them.
Word of knowledge, prophecy.
Excuse me, three of them, and then you have today, discerning of the Spirit, okay? Now, what I mean by these are revelational gifts.
It comes through the Spirit on Paul.
Okay, that's good.
They reveal things we wouldn't know otherwise, more natural.
That's right.
Very good. Do you think we need these gifts?
Amen.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we've talked about wisdom and how wisdom, it's not a natural wisdom. It's not a born wisdom. It's a what? Supernatural wisdom from on high. It comes from the Father, the God, whatever, Father, from on high. So it's not nothing you can learn yourself. These are gifts that are freely given to the believer, and they are the gifts that we can function in our life. Now, most people get sidetracked and think, well, I don't function in that gift or this gift or that gift. But can anybody, is anybody limited to these gifts? I'm not going to seat. Keep taking my seat away. Excuse me. So everyone can receive these gifts. Do you see people a lot of that say that, I just don't think I can move in that gift or this gift or that? What? And from the beginning, it's thank you. My wonderful servant. How that...
Oh, you're getting old too.
Yeah. So is this cheer. It's pretty bad. But today, I'm not going to preach. I want to teach. Last week, I preached. So talk to me about what does discernment mean? What does discernment really mean? A definition in your mind, or what you think.
Going to the spiritual root of something.
Say that again.
Going to the spiritual root of something rather than its external manifestation.
Very good.
As now, Paul said right or wrong. No one's bad.
Very
right
good.
Right or wrong when it comes to God. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the actual vocabulary in Webster's is that one of those. There's three different ones, knowing right and wrong. Let's see, I wrote that down somewhere to see if I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah, it's like sorting
through. Oh, here it is. Discern. To detect with the eyes. There's three things it said in there. To detect with the eyes is one. To recognize or identify as separate and distinct, discern right from wrong. And to come to know or recognize mentally. And intransitive verb, to see or understand the difference. That's what Webster's said. So tell me, somebody tell me now what you think about the sun. What does it mean? Anybody else?
You got to look at it. You got to pay attention in order to discern something.
Okay, well, that first thing said that. You got to look at it, okay? So, let's go there a second. So, but if it's from a supernatural gift, can we look at it?
With the eyes of the Spirit.
Huh? Somebody said no? What? Anybody else? What does it say we should do in the Spirit?
Test
the Spirit, okay. Right. But... you ever heard they'll say, give us spiritual eyes? Right? What does that mean? Anybody ever wonder what that means? What does that mean? Spiritual eyes. Do you remember where all through in the Bible, you'll read several times, it'll say, give us ears to hear and eyes to see? Think that might connect?
Yeah.
Very, very good. I think so. Do you?
Cool.
Okay. So what do you see the greatest need for the gift of discernment?
Oh, boy.
What do you see the greatest need for?
I feel where the enemy has a stronghold in the body of Christ.
Okay, very good. We're going to go there in a minute. Who else?
If you ever have deliverance ministry, you really need it. It's indispensable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What else?
I keep getting the word motive.
Motive?
What is the motive behind what's going on?
What's going on in the world or in your situation?
Go
a little deeper.
Trying to influence you. What is the motive behind that?
Ah, okay. Okay.
Very good.
I've said for years, Ronnie, for years, that the greatest gift a pastor could have would be discernment.
That's right.
You know, it's not healing. It's not, because if you can discern the spirit that is binding that person,
amen,
then you can, like he said, in deliverance, you can set them free. You can minister to them, but if you don't know what spirit is bothering them or binding them, then it's hard to minister to that person. But discernment is a gift that all Christians need, but especially pastors and leaders of a ministry.
Very good. Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the problems that may arise in a local church with the gifts when the gift is not operating?
Well, you have... And the Bible says that you have false tongues.
Ah.
So someone giving a message in tongues and it not be of God, the pastor should be able to discern that.
Amen.
Very good. And now, so we have mixed charismatic people here, different things, all types of... Come on in. Good y'all made it just in time.
Yeah, so...
What I mean by that is that not everybody's probably ever dealt with, we heard, demonics and church things. So how do we deal with that? You know, how do we deal with that in the church now? I mean, think about it, and then think about the different denominations and everything. And then how many want to see denominational walls come down? Okay. And I believe that's why the Lord's led us into these teachings of gifts of the Spirit, because if you don't understand that they're there for everybody, to receive, and you can't go on what Grandma said and Grandpa or the church down the road or any of these things, you need to start searching and knowing exactly through what this Word of God and that it's all in line. And the teachings and everything. We can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we talk about and we begin the whole series on what? The first thing? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot function in any of these gifts. You have to go there first. And so what we do is we'll go on into gifts and things and talents, all these different things, whatever, but yet we leave out. Why? Because the first day when I started this, I asked the question, what is the first thing you think of when you hear baptism of the Holy Spirit? And somebody said tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Another one said...
Cult. Somebody said cult.
Yeah, a girl said cult. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. We're all different, and we're different here. We're diverse. There's different people brought up in Baptist, some Pentecostal, some, you know, Catholic. I don't know exactly where all you've been, every one of you, but still, you see what I'm saying? So the mindset is, Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, when it's not. It should be about... Yeah, I need that. I want that. And you heard me say that, you know, when I come in my BC days, I was all in for the other side team. And then after Christ, I'm all in for God, for Jesus. I wanted it all. Yeah, I grew up in a denominational church that didn't talk about gifts of the Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that. And yes, there is tongues, and we're going to get there in a few weeks and all these things. But the fact is, I was ignorant.
That's right.
But I knew, there was seed planted in me from like a teenager about it was something real because I knew someone that received it. And I respected that person. Now, here's the thing. You can't follow man, but you can follow the spirit that man walks in. Does that make sense? You discerning of the spirit is part of that. Knowing and discerning people, they're right or wrong. They're true blue. They're the ones that they walk in. They're anointed. They know how to discern these things in the church. We need this today. So we're not be long. I'm going to go through this, and there's going to be a lot of scripture. So if you got your Bibles, because I want you to go along with me, and it's like I said, a teaching, but we're going to talk about some examples of discerning the Spirit. First, we're going to be at 1 Corinthians 12. We've been over there pretty much, and this is the chapter you'll look at and talk, and you'll see about gifts.
What's the verse?
1 Corinthians
12. Bring it in here. Nick, bring it in here.
Hey, we're different
kind of church.
Do you need a big chair?
Get
it.
We'll bring it.
Bring it on in here. Come on. You're not sitting in no other room today. We'll make arrangements. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to just keep moving while they're moving. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That would have been a little bit.
You need to be in
1
Corinthians
12. Yeah, are we up there?
She's not.
Got it.
She's got it. 10. And you guys, did you let my student down so far as we can connect to us? Thank you.
Yeah. That's the way we wrote.
Family. Good going, Pastor.
See, I discern what to do.
That's right.
Miss Carolyn, you look beautiful today. You look beautiful today, I said.
Oh, thank you.
Glad y'all are here. All right, well, we'll move on. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Look at this. Now, and if you go back and look at 12, that's the beginning. Paul starts talking about the use of spiritual gifts. Okay? And for lack of time, we're going down to 10. And he said, and to another, he's already mentioned like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the two we talked about, you know, in our other teachings. And so now he says, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, and to another, various tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So you see these here, Paul's mentioned this. So the gift of discerning of spirits, now if you're taking notes, this is important, write it down. It says, in distinguishing or giving those who receive this gift insight into the spiritual realm. How many know there's a spiritual realm? Besides, there's not a, we motivate in the world here and everything else, but there's also a spiritual realm.
Amen.
And that spiritual realm is either godly or ungodly or whatever, it's demonic or not. And so, you know, we tend to, as Christians, want to stick our head down in the sand and not deal with that whole fact of demons and things, okay? Can I tell you today, that is one of the worst things that a church can do, is not be in to the realities of that demons is real, Satan is real, all these things. And, you know, I could get up here and preach a positive message all the time, and build you up and get you all goosey bumped and all that kind of stuff. But what good is that going to do you when you leave and go out there in the world? If you can't function and move in the gifts of the Spirit out there, in here is just kind of like you're going to, you got a hole in your tank, okay, and you're going to get filled up, but by the time you get in the road, you're on empty.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so we've got to understand how important this stuff is. Now, Paul talks about, and Jesus wanted us to have the gifts. He said, greater things shall you. So all these things is important. We can't keep overlooking them in our life and just never dealing with them. Now, I'm not saying you're going into a deliverance ministry. Now, some of you's been there and done that, have been involved with these things, and some of you's never been there. But I can tell you this gift is very important when you go there. Okay? And we heard that a minute ago. But so, again, the gift of discerning the spirits is used in distinguishing or giving those who receive this gift the insight of the spiritual realm. It can detect the counterfeiting work or of the enemy of the interference of the human spirit in spiritual matters. And it can also help in discerning the activities of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Somebody.
In revival, sometimes strange things happen, and you need to discern that if it's really the Holy Spirit or flesh. Someone starts, you know, yelling, etc.
Sure.
Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit getting him, but sometimes it's
your very good
attention. So you need discernment of spirits, so the pastor needs to say, okay,
yeah,
calm down.
Very good, Dr. Bill. That's a case for sure, with the Holy Spirit giving you and leading and guiding you there. What about in real everyday life also? If you don't know the voice of God through the Holy Spirit, then what? You're going to miss Him. You're going to walk by that man that God's trying to... You ever... And some of you, I know, as you grow up in God, and you're young, some young, but as you grow up in God and you're really sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when He is moving and functioning in your life, He is speaking all the time to me, okay? Really, He is. And sometimes it'll be in Walmart, it'll be, you know, at the grocery store, anywhere, you'll be walking by, He's like, and you'll look at someone, He's like, yep, him. It could be that. It could be something. I want you to tell them I love them. Or anything like that. So discerning the difference between, and I always said this, there's three things you're going to struggle with in the spiritual realm of what? Your mind, your battles in the spiritual realm, your mind, high places. So, but what are you going to hear in your mind? Either one of three things.
Yourself, demonic, or the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And yourself is the flesh. It always wants what it wants. The selfish, prideful flesh. Very good, Mark. And so you've got to understand, if you don't discern the difference between those, then what? You're going to be moving around all over the place and making some bad choices in life, and you're going to be going down the wrong roads. And, you know, God may be saying, no, I want you to go this way to go around and get some beans. He might be saying, you know, I want you to stop at this red light because it's yellow, and you're in a hurry, but He says stop at it anyway, because you stop at it, and the guy that goes before you goes down to the next. And I just heard this testimony 2 weeks ago. He went down to the next red light, and bam, got run over by another car. So it could have been him. You see what I'm saying? So being sensitive is part of that too. So let's look at some examples of discerning of the Spirit. I've got several here, but we'll go through. First of all, somebody look up Luke 13:16. And anybody that want to read, throw your hand up who that is. Okay, well, we can do it here. We're a little off, Penny. I don't know if you're looking up here, but you've got it way too big.
What is it, Luke? What?
13:16. opinions way too big. Shrink it.
I'm trying, Dave.
Just do this. That's the anointing. All right. That'll work. Is this like
1316?
Yes.
I got it.
Okay.
New King James.
Okay, go with it, Dale.
So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosened from the bond of, on the Sabbath? And, okay, that's it. Do you want the next verse?
Ron, you asked your question.
Well, I was trying to look to see if I did or not. Yeah, go ahead and read the next one, too. It's just one more.
And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Okay.
Right verse? 13, 16?
Yeah. And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, yes. So here, you see red letters, this is Jesus, okay? And he's healing, actually, this few verses on the Sabbath day. Now, was that accepted?
No.
By the church folk?
Nope.
I love Jesus. He's just outside the box, kind of like me. And anyway, but, you know, as I was reading this one this time, I looked at something a little different. You know, look at this. He says, and this woman, a daughter of Abraham, and she is whom Satan has bound for 18 long years. Should she have not been released from the bond of on the Sabbath day? Now, he's healing this woman. And if you read all of it, he stops. He's teaching. He starts over in 10, and Jesus is teaching. He's preaching, teaching, whatever you want. He stops what he's doing and sees the woman. He discerns that woman was vexed with the devil.
That's right.
18 years. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God. Now, Jesus is what? He was as much man as he was
God.
But, so he had to actually, just like you and I, pray to the Father. Do you think that's why he went off all the time?
That's right.
Praying to the Father. Lord, take this cup from... Lord, he prayed, crying out to God. So he prayed and he received, he had the gift of discernment. And when he said, he knows 18 years. But struck me this time, it brought out the woman of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Think about, well, who is this? She's in the lineage.
Right.
She's Jewish. She's right. One of God's chosen people. Now, I'm not going to go deep into this, but you hear people talk about, can you have a demon and be a Christian? Can you be a demon in this thing? But let me just let you look at this scripture and you go and pray and study it. Do you think she'd been in church?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So, can church folk have devils?
Yes.
A better one, Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira.
Right.
They were right in the middle of Jerusalem community.
Uh-huh.
And I think Peter said, how has Satan influenced them?
Yeah.
That's on my notes. You're stealing my sermon.
That's
no, that's good. We're going there. Yeah. But yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't think that it's all demonic in the realm out there.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Ronnie, can I point something out real quick?
Notice yes.
There are two gifts in activity in this verse. Number one is the discernment, which is the motivation or what the source of where this is coming from, which is Satan. But then he has a word of knowledge.
That's right.
How else would he know that she had been bound for 18 years?
That's why I married this woman. She's preaching my sermon from 3 weeks ago.
That's
with
right.
It.
Right.
See, you see how it all works together?
Amen.
Okay? So, very good. And, so, you know, not only, you see Jesus moving in all the gifts here, and also healing and doing what he does, you know, But yet, I thought that was very interesting this time. Now, in Mark 9:25, Jesus discerned a foul and dumb, a deaf and dumb spirit. There's another example over there. And Penny can click it. Okay, here we go. Look, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, why do you think they were running to the scene?
I don't know what's going on in there.
Well, when Jesus come around, guess what? Everybody wanted to come see what's about to happen.
But wasn't this the boy who was going crazy?
Yeah. And he rebuked the impure spirit, you deaf, mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter again. Now, we still have that same power Jesus
Amen.
Told us, but it's in Jesus' name. If we were going to rebuke it, it'd be in Jesus' name, okay? We can't say the same way Jesus did, but in Jesus' name. Because why? Because now Holy Spirit empowers us. See where I'm going here? All right, so we see another example. Matthew 9:33, Jesus discerns that the devil was causing dumbness. Okay, and when the demons was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. He couldn't speak. But when the demon was driven out, the crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel.
So Jesus could tell the difference between what was a physical ailment and what was a symptom that was being caused by demonic. Spiritual, because you can be truly born without without the ability to speak, but he knew this was not a physical ailment.
Very
this
good point. Exactly what I was fixing to say. There's different spirits, right? There's Holy Spirit and demonic spirits. There's and so, yes, there's sicknesses and things and all these things. So this gives, and Bill and Carol, they know their healing ministry. You have healing ministry. This gift, you need to roll and function in it. So this is the same thing. In Acts 13:10, we see Paul here discerning judgment to, is one here, the one I got here. And then the next one, you know that one there, it says in Acts 13:10, you're a child of the devil. Boy, he called him right out. Didn't he? We're having technical difficulty. I'll just go on. He says, you are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right way of the Lord? Paul said. In Acts 5:1-10, now here we go. Here's what Bill said. Peter discerned the spirit of deception in Ananias and Sapphira. He even pronounced the death penalty for their actions, didn't he?
There's dispute. I mean, did God kill him and he recognized it, or did he forget?
Yeah.
He could, either way.
Either way, he spoke it.
That's right.
Did he not? Yeah. You're going to die pretty much in no country boy life.
Acts 5:1-11.
Okay.
Right here.
5:1-11. So you see that there, and I'm going to keep going for lack of time. In Acts 8:23, Peter discerned the true motive of Simon. He confronted him to repent before God. And another example in 1 Samuel 9:19 of Samuel knowing what was in Saul's heart. Y'all remember we talked about that? Samuel and Saul and all that. And he knew what was in Saul's heart. What was it? Somebody.
There would be a demon that would
oppress him. Yeah, absolutely. And in this case, we see two gifts working together, gift of discernment and the gift of knowledge in that situation. So there's two working together there. Jeremiah discerned false prophecy in Jeremiah 28:15-17. And one more, Jesus exposed Satan in Peter's life in Matthew 16:23.
Wait a minute, where's Jeremiah? What? You're going to get
Excuse me.
Got it right here. Look at this.
Jeremiah 28, 15 through 17. And then the other one was Jesus again in Matthew 16, 23. And if you remember that one, yeah. what had just happened there? Jesus had just changed his name, hadn't he?
That's right.
Peter's name?
Yes. Y'all remember what it changed from?
See? What it went to.
Yeah, it went to, exactly.
You went to that little rock, Petra.
Petra.
Little rock.
That's right.
He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He said, but it's not about Peter. It's about what?
About the word and what he's rooted in and what he's bound.
Because he got the revelation. Whom do you say that I am? And Peter got the revelation to discern that you are the Christ, he said.
He didn't say, I think.
You are the Christ. Amen. And then right here in this instance, just a few verses on over, he does what? He says, get thee behind me, Satan.
I rebuke you.
I rebuke you.
That's right.
So you see.
Ronnie.
Yes.
Let me say something.
Come on.
In my experience with ministry and ministering to people who are bound by spirits and all, who operate in the gift of the Spirit, when you're subject to the Spirit, you're subject to both. That's why discernment is very critical. Like you said, it's easy to be false led, just like he was there. Although he knows God, who Jesus was, and he was rooted and he was grounded, and God and Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon what you believe and what you stand for. But then right over there, he says, Robert, here you get me behind me, Satan.
Right.
Because being subject to the Spirit, you're subject, you can be subject to both spirits.
That's right. And your subconscious expectation that the Jews had that Jesus was going to be a worldly king, and he couldn't break from that, you see?
Discernment is very critical to be able to discern what spirit is speaking and what spirit you're, you know, so.
Yeah, and this was what happened. Pride rose up in Peter right after he had been blessed by Jesus. Said, blessed are you, son of Simon, son of Mark. Three times he told him. And that's another whole sermon, but three times he denied him later, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's right here. He's foretelling his death, Jesus is, in this instance. After this, Peter's pride rose up. Who is, you know, ain't nobody, you know, who is it that's going to betray you? You know, and Jesus saw immediately, discerned immediately, that was a pride, that was a spirit, it wasn't of God, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. So, yeah, so that's good stuff. All right, so let's move on. Now let's talk about functions of discerning of the Spirit. I got about 10 minutes here. So, functions of the discerning of the Spirit. First of all, it gives the believer the capacity to know how the enemy is operating and his strategy of warfare.
Right.
This is a battle. Paul talked about it. It's a race. It's a battle. It's, you know, all these things. It's a spiritual warfare we're in this realm of spirits. Okay, so with the gift of discernment, we can know more of the enemy's thoughts and capabilities, and this gift helps us to know how to confront him. I won't go there. Okay, thank you, Lord. I want to tell a story, but it'd take too long. And if I got time, I'll tell it in a minute. This gift acts like a spiritual antenna. It's like
That's
a
right.
spiritual antenna.
That's right.
You know, picking up the frequencies of the spiritual realm, and it detects all these things. In other words, it helps a believer to know when something is wrong.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yes.
And it's not the natural gift, okay? We got, remember, going back where we were, some of you hear about wisdom and all natural. It's not that. There's a lot of smart people, okay? There's a lot of book-learned people. This is all supernatural from on high. So, you know, it's something that God himself, he's imparting in you to recognize this is wrong. This is right. This is wrong. Okay? Okay? That makes sense?
What?
Absolutely.
It's like having some people are book smart and some people have more common sense.
This is like instead of being having common sense, it's having spiritual sense.
Yes.
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 And as believers in Christ, very good, we now do not walk by the flesh. We're supposed to walk according to the Spirit, be led by the Spirit.
Yes.
You see, what happens in the body of Christ is no one teaches this. No one gets it. Nobody really moves in all the gifts because they're scared. It's a, ooh, it's a, you know, kind of thing. But it's not. It's a blessing to be able to receive these gifts and to be able to function in life with them and roll with these things that God wants you to roll with. He wants you to know the right path to go down. He wants you to know the right person to impart in your life. Not that one that's going to impart a worldly wisdom in your life. He wants you to be yoked up with someone that's educated in the spiritual realm of truth. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So then we can use this gift to test prophecy and discern whether it's coming from God or human spirit. Now, some of you have been around that and some of you haven't. But trust me, hold on, you'll be around it if you stick around long enough. And you'll have a discernment about that. And we can use it to discern spiritual conditions of the church or the individuals and to expose a spirit of falsehood in a person.
Amen.
Yeah, baby. You can go in church and you can have these, oh, yes. How are you doing? Oh, I'm great. All that. Now, you get out there in the world and you see that person and they're out there cussing out their wife or they're doing this other stuff and whatnot and all. And you thought that person was a good person, right? Because why? You only saw them in this realm right here. So, what if you had that gift where you saw them just like out there? Get me? You immediately like, whoo, whoo, something's there. Right or wrong, okay? Example, 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some, listen to this, will abandon the faith. Who's that?
Believers.
Huh?
Believers, yeah.
And follow deceiving spirits and things taught by
demons.
They're real. People are being taught by them. And listen, he ain't coming with horns. He ain't coming he is the adversary and he is the one who will deceive and come dressed in disguise like your brother and sister.
That's right.
And he may even be the preacher that's preaching all this stuff to make you feel good. Let me just go there. I guess I got to just a couple minutes. Listen, if you're not getting conviction sometimes when you go to church, then guess what? You probably ain't receiving nothing from God. You're moving in the wrong realm. God, he moves through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
And he moves through other believers who can impart in your life. And they, like we have small groups and things in CR and stuff. You'll hear someone share parts of something. And you know right there, if your heart starts pounding, you start thinking, wow, that was for me as much as it was for them. Somebody know what I mean? And so, you know, we got to look at all this together. So it's... there's going to be end times it's going to get worse, okay? Now, whether we're in them or not, I'm not going there, but I'm telling you, look around us. And 1 John 4:1-3 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but what? Test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ, okay, has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. this is the spirit of Antichrist, which may have heard it coming, and even now is already in the world. It's in the world. He's real. He's in the churches.
He's in the seminaries.
Yes, he is. A few years ago, as one of the largest pastors in the United States had a chance to stand up for Jesus on national TV and did not, because he was asked what was the way.
That's right.
And he stuttered and stammered around the truth that there is only one way.
That's right.
And his way is Jesus. And this is what the scripture he should right away went to. Well, there's many ways. I believe there could be many ways, he said. Oh, my gosh. I lost all respect for that man right there. I don't care if he has the largest church in America. I'm telling you, if you can't proclaim Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Almighty God, who walked in the flesh, who died on the cross, and rose again, then you need to run from that man of God.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Come on, I'll get a little bit excited here in a minute now. Come on.
Now that's, you know what, he needs, what he's just said is so important, because these popular pastors writing their books, these feel-good books, these feel-good messages, and their feel-good videos, and all of that stuff.
Money.
Yeah, what do you think they're getting from that? Anyone who will abandon the Word of God and the Spirit of God for popularity, okay?
Some of y'all know.
Liked by everybody, all of that. You gotta run the other way, okay? It's like eating.
Yes.
It's like if somebody hands you brownies, and yeah, they might say some good things. Right, but what if we actually bake, you know, just a tiny bit of poop in the brownies, and then hand you brownies?
Yum.
You still want the brownies? No. But the point is that you've got some people who are supposedly preaching the gospel, but there is crap mixed in with their message, and you might as well just walk.
Wait and tear.
But the other thing that God's really impressing on me is I don't know who this is for right now. And the other one previously, when we talked about Peter and Jesus, and how Jesus was a man. He struggled. Remember, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, God, if this is your will, please let this cup pass from me. He did not want to go through the agony. He was a man. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen because he was limited as a man. And here he tells the people closest to him, this is what I'm going to have to go through. And Peter goes, no, Lord, you're not going to die. I'll never let that happen. You know, I'd kill anybody. I'd die before that. And Jesus knew that it wasn't Peter. You think, well, just Peter being all fried up and all fleshly, you know, because that was how he was. But he knew it was Satan behind what he was saying, because don't you think in the natural that's what Jesus wanted to hear?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And he knew the same way that Satan tempted him in the desert by saying, oh, you don't have to do this. Do this instead. Okay? He knew. So there are people in your lives right now that are very close to you, have been be your best friend, okay? But they're speaking crap in your life. This is not from God. You are listening to people who are speaking from a worldly point of view, or even worse, who are being encouraged by Satan to speak things to you to lead you exactly off the path, because you don't want to hear what the Spirit actually is speaking. If you've received conviction, if God has spoken to you, you're going to search out, if you are not open to and surrender to the Spirit, you're going to seek out other people who will say something else that will match your itching ear. Somebody, at least one person in here, has got somebody speaking into your life in the natural that is actually being fed by the enemy, and you need to pray for discernment. Okay, if it's against what you know the Holy Spirit, or people who are in the Holy Spirit are speaking to you, you have got to walk away from and shut down that conversation and stop discussing your spiritual matters with people who are going to speak junk in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Last point here, example. The gift of discernment is used in deliverance ministry to discern the afflicted, tormented, or oppressing spirits. Now, I'm going to touch, I only got a few minutes here, but briefly on oppression. once you're saying that, I believe that's where I have to go. What is an oppressing spirit?
Something
that keeps at you, yes. You keep, you know what it is. You keep trying to, you know, walk in the spirit, seek God, you know.
That's right.
But it keeps coming after you. That's right. The Hebrew word for oppression is oshik, pronounced oshik, meaning oppression, exhortation, or to obtain from a person by force, imitate, intimidation, excuse me, or undue illegal power.
Wow.
Cruelly. That's what it means. Let me say it again. Meaning oppression, extortion, obtained from a person by force, intimidation, or undue illegal power, cruelly. The Merriam-Webster's dictionary says oppression as unjust or cruel exercise of authority of power. It's a sense of being weighed down in body, mind, and spirit. Being depressed, he says. So with that said, there's a lot of people battle in oppression.
Yes.
It's a spirit that just sets on you. It's kind of like comes upon you and hovers like a fog around
yes.
you and wants to pull you
settle
down
on
and
you. Yes.
settle on you. And it's really a stronghold that is very hard for people. And we see it functioning everywhere around us because of people that'll go to the doctors and they'll have to get antidepressants. Now, if you're there, I'm not trying to put guilt on you or any of that kind of stuff. You may need that. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, it's the first thing the doctors turn to.
That's right.
So they don't know how to deal with it in the spiritual realm
Amen.
Of things.
Amen.
But so, you see, as born-again believers, we've got to understand that God has provided a way through the power of the Holy Spirit
yes.
that lives inside of the believer.
Yes.
And that we have, in the name of Jesus, every bit of that power, Acts 1:5, to say, no, I recognize you,
yes.
devil. I recognize
yes.
you, spirit of oppression, and I cast you into the darkness and out of my life and out of my mind. You have no authority in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, you may be in that place right now where you're at right now. I don't know who this is for. But if you are, I want to tell you, you can be free. God wants you to be free.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to take another pill. He doesn't want you to take another drink. He doesn't want you to have to feel like all this. You see, that's why Paul said in Romans 7, why do I do these things and I don't want to do them? I know I shouldn't do them. And he keeps on. But in 8 he says, but there is no condemnation for those who are what?
In Christ Jesus.
You see, you've got to be in Christ Jesus. You've got to be in the spiritual realm where you recognize this thing and you take authority over it and you pull that stronghold down and you say, you have no authority stronghold in my life. I will not receive it. Now, your body may be saying, yeah, right, but you've got to say, your spirit's got to rise up and say, but yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? You've got to be in tune with God. You've got to know this word. You've got to be able to speak this word. There's a bunch of Christians who are naked running around out there who have no power because they don't understand what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be washed by the blood of Jesus is not just to be free because of salvation, it's to be washed in the power of the baptism, of the infilling of God, so when He comes in, it can come out. And when you release it all out, it goes out and you feel like it's just a big old breath. You ever be just tired and you just have to stop and... And some of you right now, God's saying, you need to breathe. You need to breathe. You need to breathe.
Yes.
Amen.
And keep breathing Him
yes.
in.
Yes.
And keep breathing Him in.
Yes.
And take Him in till you have your victory. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Can I get an amen? Amen. So oppression. will not destroy you if you will walk in the gifts and you begin to function in these gifts. And I had another page or two, but that's all right. It's been good. It's been good stuff here today. And I want you to understand, John 14:12 tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the work that I do shall he do also.
And then he says again,
and greater works than these shall he do, because what?
I'm going to the Father.
And we need to start with this yielding, whatever it is.
And he says, ask anything.
In my name. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. So, in closing here, how the spirit of discernment operates, it's always through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to skip through a lot. I've got more, but I want to close. The importance, about the importance of the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test that spirit. A minute ago we read this again. And see that whether it's from God. Listen, don't believe what you've heard about gifts, tongues, interpretations, prophecies, unless you know. You need to know. Okay? I wasn't raised in a non-denominational church or a spirit-filled church or any of that. And the first time I heard a prophet get up and prophesy, it scared the bejesus out of me. Let's just be real. And I'm like, whoa. But I know hairs went up on my back.
That's right.
I wasn't at the point of discernment yet. I was at the point of whoa. But the more I sought God, and the more I was open to say, God, if it's real, I want to know. I want to know if that man's for real. I want to know if that woman, or you know, if this prophet, if he got up and prophesied, or if I heard this tongue, that was the first thing. It was like, whoop, and I was like, and then another interpreted. I'm like, wow, that's what this is. Okay. I prayed to God and I said, Lord, if it's from you, I want it. Lord, if it's from you, I need it. Lord, you know where I come from. I can't go back even to that church I come up as a kid because they didn't teach me this. And I need to know I got to have it all, God. If I can't have it all, I won't make it.
That's right.
I know that I wouldn't make it. There was too much pull on my life. I was one of Satan's generals. Now I want to be one of your generals,
amen.
God. I want to walk with you, God. I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. And I got hungry for God. I locked myself up in a house for 3 months. I studied the Word of God. And I couldn't even hardly read a Bible before that. Can I preach just 2 minutes? I will tell you. But that Word, when I asked God to just make it real to me, and I said, Lord, I struggled. I had a 10th grade education. But Lord God, you know, I can read, but I don't understand it. It's too much. Thus thou thee and all that stuff.
Yeah.
God said, get another Bible. Wouldn't you understand, son?
Right.
There wasn't wrong with having a parallel Bible to the King James. I ain't picking on King James. When I went up to that church, I had a Bible. I went out and bought the biggest Bible I could find. It's about that wide, about that long. King James Study Bible. I went in there and I had my suit on. I walked in that church. God had called me to preach, and I'm like, what? He called me to ministry. That's what he said. I didn't know what preach was, really. And he said, I'm just calling you to ministry. They asked me what I'm doing. I said, I don't know, but I'm called to ministry. And I'm just real. I'm just raw as a cucumber, okay? And, you know, some know me. It's like, I'm just raw. But I'll tell you what. When I started receiving the gifts of God, the boldness rose up in me. I would never been able to get up in front of people unless I was drunk and showed myself. Get up in front of people and teach or preach or do something. That's God.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the baptism of power.
That's right.
Dunamis. Dynamite. there's times I'll get, before I even come to church, and I close with this, and I'm like, Lord, I ain't got nothing. Yes, I'm in the Word every day. Sometimes hours and hours. And then sometimes it's 30 minutes. Sometimes I'll miss a day, and I can repent, and I'm crying out to God. But yet, and then I say, well, I don't know, Lord. He says, trust me. Trust me, I got a Word. So you, today, I don't know where you're at. If you've got some things in your life, bow your heads with me. And you need to get rid of something.
Amen.
We ain't even going to call it a devil, but if you think it is, you need to, in the name of Jesus, recognize it. I'll never forget the first time I cast a devil out. The Lord just had me, and it turned out to be legions. That was something. That's a story I couldn't tell a minute ago, but it's real. It's a spiritual realm. If you're here today and you battle with depression, can I tell you, in the name of Jesus, it's got to go.
In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're here right now and you believe, if you're a believer, if you've repented of your sins, you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is your Savior, and you want to make Him Lord, maybe you ain't made Him Lord yet, but when He becomes Lord, all things is under and subjective, and they will have to flee. Right now, there's at least two people God's speaking things in your life right now that's not of God, and I want you to rebuke those, and I want you to name them, claim them, and then ask God to set you free from them. Set you free from them right where you're at. If you need prayer, you can come up. I'll pray with you. But I want everybody just to pray. Pray in the Spirit if you're believers. If you have the Spirit of God, the power of God, pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we need you. Just begin to cry out to Him. God, I need you. I want more of you. I got to have you. I'm not going to quit praying until I receive all of you. I need you. I need peace in my life. Somebody can't get peace in here right now. In the name of Jesus, who you are, I want you to feel freedom in this house right now. Let the power of the Almighty just overwhelm every bit of that lying, deceitful devil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. If you need prayer, come on up. In the name of Jesus.